listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
The Denver Broncos dropped to 0-2 on the season after losing 26-21 on the road at Pittsburgh in a game where we have a lot to break down. This is Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi is made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. And on our post-game report here on today's episode, Locked On Broncos, a variety of woulda, coulda, shoulda, some positives, some lowlights, but we're going to go through the game recap, some of the biggest storylines coming from the Broncos 26-21 defeat, takeaways, and what's next for this Broncos team. And in order to do that, I'm joined today by Zach Seegers of Broncos Pro Football Network. Zach, you know, for the Broncos, a rough start to the season, 0-2, obviously, a rough start to the game for them considering the circumstances yesterday. Now we have a little bit of clarity after the fact. What's going on, my man?
You know, I think this was a really painful loss for the Broncos. You really hang in there. I think you surpass everyone's expectations. You know, the moment Locke goes out of that game, it was still early in the first quarter. You're just three possessions into the game, two for the Broncos, one for the Steelers. And it felt like things were over. So for Driscoll to come in and play as well as he did and really keep the Broncos in it for three quarters, the defense, you know, did a great job as well. I think that's really impressive. And you, if you're the Broncos, you're just really hoping to get healthy here because you've got to be impressed with how this incredibly depleted unit has looked against the Titans, who seem to be a good team, and the Steelers, who seem to be a good team as well. You know, just health is the big story for the Broncos so far.
So we're diving into these storylines here. Zach alluded to it. Biggest storyline of the game coming out of the Broncos matchup against the Steelers, Drew Lock on the second series for the Broncos offensively. The Broncos moving downfield in field goal range. He gets hit by Bud Dupree and he fumbles the ball, but then he hurts his shoulder. He lands really awkwardly on his shoulder. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio says that there's no update yet on what his injury was, but Lock would not return. That means Jeff Driscoll would be inserted into the lineup and would have to command this Broncos offense. And really, for no preparation, all things considered, you know, there were obvious things about Jeff Driscoll that he's got to fix. He's got to improve, especially if he's going to be getting some playing time considerably due to whatever the severity of Locke's injury is. But there were some things I thought he did really, really well, and we're going to talk about that on today's episode of the show. Cortland Sutton goes down with injury, but this was a storyline league-wide, Zach. I mean, Sunday saw so many players, so many big-name players, so many players in general go down with an injury, and it just goes to fuel my thought, my process, and my belief on the fact that the Broncos are just one of the 31 other NFL teams that has suffered due to not having an adequate offseason. I think the NFL really dropped the ball here. I felt as if the NFL should have postponed the season at least a few weeks. Give players, give teams time to go into the weight room and actually do their strength and conditioning program. Get these guys ready for football and one or two preseason games. I don't want to harp on this every week, but I think after a weekend like this, it's a realistic thing to look back and say, look, the NFL should have got that. So that was one thing that I, you know, I kind of took away there. But, you know, Zach, for the Broncos offensively, we saw them really move the ball well with Melvin Gordon rushing the ball early on. I mean, he had two carries for 44 yards. It seemed for a moment like the Broncos could move the ball at ease against Pittsburgh and their pass rush. But I think the biggest storyline here, outside of the injuries, there's some concern about the Broncos on the offensive line. It's something that has reared its head a little bit here. And for example, Elijah Wilkinson, here's the deal. Elijah Wilkinson in the first two series, in my opinion, I thought played really well. There was a one-on-one rep on third down he had against TJ Watt on the first series. He actually did a really good job. He actually got the best of TJ Watt. Anything after that kind of went downhill. But, you know, there's a lot of fans out there right now that are saying that Elijah Wilkinson is the reason that Drew Lock got hurt. That is not accurate because TJ Watt was on the right side. He rushed inside. He caused that pressure. Wilkinson pushed him away. Lock rolled out to his right, but then Bud Dupree comes from the backside on a tackle edge twist. He comes through the A-gap backside and blasts Drew Lock. There's missed assignments by Royce Freeman and the interior running back there on those A-gap responsibilities. That's what led to Drew Lock's injury. It wasn't necessarily Elijah Wilkinson, but for example, the Broncos offensive line giving up as many sacks as they did. That just completely changed the course of the game, and Elijah Wilkinson was a big part of that. What are your thoughts on the offensive line? Because I know right now there are a lot of fans of Broncos country saying the Broncos should go with Damar Dotson. I'm a little skeptical because, look, I don't know if you're going to get anything better from Damar Dotson, who is less versatile, less athletic than a guy like Elijah Wilkinson. And look, I just don't know if the product is going to be better. Look, he struggled and the Broncos didn't really adjust to putting some help to his side for quite some time until probably the third quarter. They started putting the tight end to his side a lot more, but I don't think DeMar Dotson is going to give them a boost. I think it's going to be worse with DeMar Dotson. I'd rather see the Broncos go with the idea of Calvin Anderson, who's an more athletic tackle than anybody, than any of the other offensive linemen the Broncos have right now. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, Calvin Anderson, I can't speak much on, but I definitely like the idea of maybe switching it up somewhat. I'm not a fan of the Dotson call, you know, at all. I just think, well, when you look at Mike Munchak, this guy's maybe the smartest offensive line mind in the world. Like, truly, in the whole world, there's 8 billion people, maybe two or three know offensive line play better than Mike Munchak. And for him to not even seriously consider starting DeMar Dotson in week one and in week two should send a loud and clear message to Broncos country. You know, Mike Munchak knows more about the offensive line and right tackle play than either of the two of us on here right now, and more than any Broncos fan, anyone, any one of you. Mike Munchak knows more about offensive line play than you. If he thinks Wilkinson's the guy, I trust him. I'm not totally opposed to giving Calvin Anderson a shot, though, if that's what he thinks is right. But, you know, honestly, I think the hits were a big problem. You saw the Broncos quarterbacks, Driscoll Enloch, getting hit 11 times on 19 dropbacks in the first half. That's absurd. That's 60%. Just about that can't happen. And I think some of that is definitely on the offensive line and a drop off performance from Bowles and Wilkinson. I think a lot of it's on Locke holding the ball too. You know, I hate to say it, but Locke, and a lot of it with Locke is he hasn't had the reps yet. He's not, you know, Driscoll's been in the league for 5 years. He's had the practice reps. He knows that internal clock you need to have as an NFL quarterback. He knows how to throw the ball away and how to throw it down at his receiver's feet. Locke hasn't had those reps, even in practice, to prepare for that sort of thing. And I think he found the last 5 weeks of last season, hey, I'm can really extend plays with my legs and make something happen downfield. And I think we've seen him now get to the point where he's relying on that ability too much and trying to extend these plays. If he quickly throws that ball away, and yes, Royce Freeman messed up on the protection. It's not all on Locke at all, that injury. But if he immediately throws that ball away or, you know, is a little quicker on a lot of these releases, he takes fewer hits and maybe he isn't even hit by Bud Dupree on that play and is subsequently injured.
You got to throw the ball away and live to see another day. And that was something I tweeted out early on. There were a couple times where, like I said, Locke was holding on the ball a little too long, and not to excuse what happened. I mean, you got to uphold in protection, but that was something that did stand out. And rolling out to his right and trying to throw that football was something that I think when you go back and you watch it on film, you want him to get the ball out of his hands, throw it away, right? He's always looking. I like the fact he wants to extend plays with his legs, find the open man. But against a team like Pittsburgh, who just sends the house at you every single time, you got to find a way to do something differently. You know, really impressed, though, with the Broncos fight in this game, because it could have easily been a 31-0 game for the Broncos at some point, and they were able to capitalize. They were able to stay in this game due to the Broncos defense. And we'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. Broncos country, Zach and I are going to give more of our takeaways, more of the recap, some of the plays where things went wrong for the Broncos, some of the plays where things went right, and stuff that they can build off with Tom Brady and Tampa Bay coming to town. But before we do that, folks, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Postgame report is Visa. And Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities, whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops. Local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by our name, always giving back, making a difference, and going the extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. All right, Zach, let's continue our discussion here on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Postgame report, Broncos dropped to 0-2 on the season, 26-21 against Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We were just talking about some of the events, you know, Locke holding on the ball a little too long early on in this game here. But let's talk about the snowball effects, the missed throws here. Now, in terms of Jeff Driscoll, the one thing I'd say stands out about him, and I really want to go back, let's go back to where the Broncos had a chance. They're driving the ball. If they have a chance to maybe take the lead in this game, if they can convert on a touchdown, it's 3rd-and-2, 2-minute warning. Broncos come out of it. They go on a pass play with a drag route across to Deshaun Hamilton, throw kind of behind Hamilton there, and then it brings up fourth and two. Fourth and two, ball is snapped, and you run Melvin Gordon on an angle route, but then Terrell Edmonds comes off of a nickel blitz. And for a second, just that's my biggest gripe is that we saw Jeff Driskel fail to acknowledge where the blitz was coming from. And the common rule in football, folks, if you don't know this, you throw against the blitz. You don't throw away from the blitz. You throw against the blitz. So if they're coming from the right side, you got to throw to the right side. You got to connect with Melvin Gordon on that angle route. But the most perplexing thing to me, Zach, and when we could talk about coaching, I think if any kind of coaching was negative for the Broncos this game, it was on that last series there offensively with Pat Shurmur and that decision not to run the ball at least once on third down and two. But I'd say special teams is the biggest thing. Vic Fangio and the Broncos defense, look, coaching, I think, kept the Broncos in this game a little bit. It could have gotten ugly there. What were your thoughts overall on those final two plays for the Broncos offensively, and not to mention just the game overall from the coaching standpoint?
Yeah, you know, I think coaching overall was really good. You know, far from perfect, but it's going to kill me if I hear Broncos country with another, oh, Vic Fangio lost a close game narrative. The Broncos aren't in this game, and they aren't in the Titans game either, and they aren't in several of those close losses last year. If it isn't for Vic Fangio's defensive play calling, his head coaching job, and the entire coaching staff he's built, and a lot of these guys wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Vic. So I just think the coaching overall did a good job. Special teams really killed the Broncos this week. You saw special teams keep the Broncos in it last week. You saw special teams, I think, really kill them this week. Of course, you have the safety. If it's not for that safety, Broncos can kick a field goal to tie on that fourth down. They don't even have to go for it. And then also just coverage was awful all day long. You have the punt return that's called back because of a penalty. You got really lucky on that one. Otherwise, would have been a touchdown for the Steelers, of course. And then just all their punt and kick returns. You know, when the Broncos were returning it, it seemed like their returns, they should have been taking more touchbacks and whatnot. Their returns seemed to shave 5-10 yards off of what their starting field position was going to be. And then on the other ball or other side of things, it seemed like their punt and kick coverage gave the Steelers about 5-10 yards per, you know, return that helped the offense with the Steeler offense get a little better starting field position. You know, so I think that really was, when you look at such a close game, a big pivot point that killed the Broncos at the end. But overall, we need to applaud this coaching staff. This coaching staff is down their starting quarterback. I still think Lindsey's their best running back. Down Sutton for a good chunk of this game and all last week. Down Judy for a fairly significant portion of this game. Down Draymond Jones for a significant portion. Down Von Miller for 2 weeks. Without their best cornerback for most of these first two games. And the Broncos have been in both of them against what should be much better teams throughout. This coaching staff has been incredible, and it's ridiculous to me that they're getting ridden so hard by Denver sports media and by Broncos country, because the coaching staff's what's keeping the Broncos in this game. Could they be better? Are they perfect? Are they Bill Belichick? No, but they have done a fantastic job, and I think they should be applauded for how competitive the Broncos have been in these first 2 weeks.
All things considered, the snowball effect that we saw in the first half of the Broncos, at that point, the players could have packed it in, but it just goes to show the attitude that this team has, and really the defense kept them in. I mean, we can talk about everything that has happened so far this Broncos. I know we're focusing a lot on offense because that was the thing. Broncos defense, I thought, stepped up, kept them in this game. There was a Shelby Harris forced fumble that gave the Broncos momentum after that safety when the punt, you know, when Sam Martin dropped the punt and then he got tackled in the end zone. Shelby Harris's play there, Kareem Jackson recovering that was big for the Broncos there overall. And then not to mention, Justin Simmons had a key interception. Great job. Not a very good throw by Ben Roethlisberger. Not a great decision by him. But Simmons, in my opinion, stood out in this game for the Broncos defensively. I thought the Broncos at inside linebacker felt like Josie Jewell, Alexander Johnson. They struggled a little bit back in coverage. This was the 1 week where we talked about it pregame leading up that they may be tested in terms of seeing how their pass coverage is there. And certainly it showed it there. But outside of that, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson had a pretty strong showing here. But let's talk about the Broncos rookie cornerback, Michael Ojemudia. Okay, there was an 85-yard touchdown pass by Roethlisberger to Claypool. And that right there, and you could make the argument it could have been offensive pass interference, but they didn't call that. So for that, it's a big play given up. It leads to a touchdown. you want to see how a cornerback is going to respond. And I liked how Ojemudia had responded initially after that play, because he was coming in, he was thumping guys, he was coming in, wrapping up. And then there was that one play late in the game where they scored their second touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger rolled out to his right. It felt like the officials missed the hold that happened on Jeremiah Atauchu. But look, I'm not going to sit back here and say one call, one missed call, one no call led to one thing or the other. But that led to a touchdown, and everyone's going to say Michael Ojemudia. But for the Broncos, look, you're going to have to live with some of these decisions, some of these events that happen when you do play with rookies. You know, what were your thoughts originally on Michael Ojemudia? Because I see a lot of fans saying, oh, the Broncos shouldn't have drafted this kid. They should have cut him. But God, it's just so early. I get that Broncos fans are emotional. You don't know me watching Nuggets games. I'm emotional as hell during Nuggets games. But for the Broncos games, look, I get it. I get where fans are coming from. I get the frustration. But I think that saying these things after 2 weeks is just over the top.
I agree with you 100%, you know, and Ojemudia has had, and I'm going to say it, and I might get killed for this, I think he's had a great 2 weeks. He's had an ugly 10 plays, and outside of those 10 plays, a great 2 weeks. We're looking at cornerback. When we talk about positions that are hard to transition, and you know corners better than most in Denver media, it's one of the harder positions to transition from college to the NFL, like quarterback, like tight end, like offensive line, you know, and he's done very, very, you know, he's done very well, in my opinion, for the most part, especially not having an offseason, making this difficult transition and having to start from week one and not having help with the Juju Smith-Schuster's and other teams' number one guy, because AJ Bouye's been out for most of these first 2 weeks. And Ojemudia's done well. You know, the PI killed you at the end of week one. And this week, all three touchdowns you could attribute to Ojemudia, with the dropped INT, with Claypool's touchdown, and then with the Deontay Johnson touchdown. I know you mentioned it before the show, that Claypool touchdown, Claypool pushed off on, and it wasn't called. Those calls are going to happen, but that's not all on Ojemudia. You talked about the missed call on the Deontay Johnson touchdown as well. And then that dropped interception, he's going to make that play 8 times out of 10. You know, 9 times out of 10. It's just in that instance, he played the coverage perfectly. Perfect coverage by Ojemudia there. He just ends up dropping it, and that's a killer. It's a rookie mistake. But just like we gave Jerry Jeudy a little bit of rope after week one, where he made a few drops and we went, hey, everything else this kid is doing, it has been fantastic. He's just having a few mental hiccups. Hopefully he gets those down with experience. I think it's the same thing with Ojemudia. A few mental hiccups, he'll polish those things with experience. And guess what, Broncos fans? This isn't Isaac Yadda. This isn't a Brendan Langley. This guy's going to play and get comfortable with him, because I'm telling you, he's starting for the next 4 years, as long as he's on that rookie deal.
I hate to be cliche here, but you got to trust the process. You got to let things play out. This is a young football team. I don't know why everyone is surprised that the fact that the Broncos are 0-2 right now, considering that we all knew coming into the season as media, I think fans had this idea too. The first 5 games for Denver are absolutely brutal, considering they're a young team. Now you factor in the fact all of these injuries that they're facing. This is a brutal 5-game stretch for Denver. But, Zach, we saw a key. We saw the fight. We saw the resiliency from them on Sunday against Pittsburgh in a game where they should have been blown out.
And all that fight is coaching. It's why the coaching point, honestly, it's giving me a headache with Broncos country, because you're seeing them harp on the coaching staff. And it's like, these first 2 games are tough. The Titans are a really good team. The Steelers, I think, are probably the 3rd best team in the AFC. And to what you just said, they're incredibly beat up, and they're hanging right there with these good teams fighting until the end with Jeff Driskel, who has a 1-7 career record. You know why? Because the coaching staff.
Yeah, it's a big difference maker, folks. And obviously, we're going to try to figure out what's going on with Drew Lock, the injury report. No update. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio says they're going to wait till they get back to Denver for more testing. But I think everyone in Broncos country is holding their breath on Cortland Sutton, on Drew Lock, on Draymond Jones. Just injuries continue to pile up. But what do the Broncos do next now with Tom Brady, Tampa Bay coming to town? Zach and I are going to discuss that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the other sponsor of today's Lockdown Broncos postgame report. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. And Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They are back. They are better than ever. And they're much more improved and even more delicious than ever before, featuring 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, and 12 original flavors like German chocolate, banana bread, peanut butter brownie, and toffee almond. These should be your go-to every single day if you love delicious treats. The bars, they are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft, and they're easy to chew. And Built Bars are healthy. They're great for those who are health conscious like myself. They help you lose or maintain weight while also allowing you to indulge in a delicious treat. The bars, they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for any kind of diet that you may be on. You get the perfect blend of healthy and dessert. For example, the peanut butter brownie Built Bar features 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. That is healthy, and that's why I rock with Built Bar every single day. When I'm going to the gym, when I'm on my way to work, I take a Built Bar with me, and you can get Built Bar right now. And with your purchase of a box of Built Bar today, you get a free cooler with purchase only while supplies last. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Zach, getting back into our discussion on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos post-game report. Broncos dropped to 0-2 on the season. Rough start overall for the Broncos, all things considered. There are some positive things you could take away. Let's take a look at this, though. The Broncos had 26 rushing attempts and 104 yards rushing. I believe that going forward, the Broncos need to find an emphasis now, at least. Considering Locke's injury, you have to find a way to scheme the run game to get it going. And I thought that both Melvin Gordon and Royce Freeman did a really good job. And I think the Broncos needed to adjust a little bit play calling wise on the offensive side of the ball, because they would have shotgun Melvin Gordon to the left of Jeff Driscoll, and they would just do the inside zone, but they would keep sending the nickel blitz. And so they really stopped that inside zone play. I think the Broncos got to go with a little bit more trap and a little bit more counter to really open things up. But look, I was really impressed with Melvin Gordon, really kind of holding his own out there. Royce Freeman had a couple of big runs as well. But the Broncos need to find a way to set up the run game first. That way, when you do get in passing situations, you're not forcing with your back against the wall. You can try to out-scheme it. But more importantly, I think the Broncos have to find a way to scheme Noah Fant open more. We saw what he was able to do. And, you know, to kind of your point when we talked about in the pregame earlier this week, guess what? The Broncos won that trade between Noah Fant and Devin Bush. It was evident as day. Noah Fant had an absolutely incredible game for the second week in a row. And I think the biggest question is, why is Nick Vinette getting more of these reps than Noah Fant? And we're seeing Noah Fant make more out of his opportunities. That to me is one of the most perplexing things. I'm eager for your thoughts on this.
Yeah, Fant and the running game have to be the focal point of this offense, at least from this part of the season moving forward. You know, if Locke is out for an extended period of time, it's got to be on Gordon. Unfortunately, you're out without Lindsey, but Freeman can step up. Bellamy can step up. He actually looked really, really good in training camp, which is why the team, I forget actually if they used a protected spot on him, but they were very, very high on him. And we saw it when they released Muhammad. But yeah, Melvin Gordon, I think, played a really good game, especially when you consider this Steelers defense held Saquon Barkley under 20 rushing yards. And Melvin Gordon had a fantastic game this week. So you got to feel great about that if you're the Broncos. The thing with Fant now is let's use him for a whole game. You know, they've used him in the whole first half against the Titans. He looked great there. And then you saw the offense go ice cold in the third quarter and for a good bit of the fourth quarter in that game. In this one, offense is ice cold in the first half. They finally turn it on in the second half when they start going Noah Fant's way more often. Let's do that for an entire game and really give this offense a chance, because he's a difference maker. There's probably, honestly, right now, maybe George Kittle and Travis Kelce are the only tight ends that are better after the catch. Not overall. He's still got a ways to go there. I think he's already a top 10 tight end. But in terms of once the ball is in this guy's hands, Kittle and Kelce are the only ones, in my opinion, that are better. He can run over you. He can run past you. He can juke you out. He can do it all. And the Broncos need to use him on more drag routes, more slants. Let's get him the ball close to the line of scrimmage with a head full of steam and let him run some guys over, because he is a huge mismatch and a game-changing weapon. The Broncos really need to be utilizing more. You know, you love Cortland Sutton. You love Jerry Jeudy. I think they continue to look good. But Sutton's a little banged up right now. Jeudy's a little banged up right now. And it's harder to get those guys the ball. You know, with Driscoll, with Locke, these inexperienced guys, it's a lot easier to get your tight end wide open in the middle of the field, 3 yards away from the line of scrimmage. And with Fant, he can make that into something. So I think force feed Fant the ball and really lean on Melvin Gordon, who's looked like a pretty nice signing.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I was really impressed, though, with KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick. I thought both those players really stepped up today offensively for the Broncos. Defensive line-wise, I thought they did really good as well. A couple passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. But obviously, while we're recording this post-game podcast, Drew Locke was meeting with the media. He is in a shoulder sling there. So I would be very surprised. I mean, early on, just based on where we are all at right now in terms of seeing it and hearing Lock talk, I would be very shocked if he played against Tampa Bay, obviously when the Broncos host the Buccaneers this upcoming Sunday at Empire Field at Mile High. But a lot can change between now and then, and that's the hope, I think, for the Broncos offensively. But overall, Zach, you know, I think the Broncos, there's some takeaways. Coaching matters. Coaching kept the Broncos in this game. There were still some errors on the coaching side of things, you know, things I think that they can go back on the film and say, well, we should have done something different. I thought Jeff Driscoll, for being thrust into the situation, did okay considering the circumstances, and that touchdown pass to Melvin Gordon. Gordon and Noah Fant. I thought he stepped up, makes some big time throws, especially on some third down plays. And look, you got to take chances. I think for the Broncos, what's next? You got to get healthy. You got to refocus, because the NFL, they're not going to sit here and say, look, okay, we feel sorry for this team. They're injured. This is happening to every team all across the NFL right now. And now the coaches have that mentality. Look, we got to go with the next man up mentality. And the players like, look, there's no excuses. We're losing all these guys. We're missing these guys. But we have to still go out there on the football field, and we got to make plays. And that's got to be the emphasis for this Broncos team going forward. If they want to have a chance to salvage a little bit of the season, I know 0-2 is not fun for Broncos fans, but don't throw in the towel just yet on your football team. They have a lot of promise. They have a lot of talent. They're very young, and they can overcome some of these things. And if you were inspired by the Broncos' resiliency on Sunday, this is a football team that can keep you going, I think, for quite some time. Look, they're building. They're in year two of a rebuild. We've been saying it so many times, not to make an excuse for subpar play. The Broncos battled back when they should have really been blown out in this game, all things considered. So Broncos country, hang in there. I understand it's an emotional time. It's frustrating right now in Broncos country, but I think that with you listening to Lockdown Broncos every single day, some of the storylines are coming out of Dove Valley. We can analyze it from both sides. We got film review coming up once the All 22 releases. We'll go through that. We'll have a therapy session as always, but Broncos country, appreciate you guys tuning in. Today's post-game report here, Locked On Broncos. I want to thank Pepsi, Visa, and our good friends over there at Built Bar for their sponsorship of today's Lockdown Broncos post-game report. Tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday all across Broncos country. Send me your Broncos questions, and Zach, Patrick Chiodi, and myself, we will answer them on tomorrow's episode, Lockdown Broncos.